Praise God. I like the good testimony and see what the Lord doing here and there around the world and right here in Colombia. Praise the Lord. Victor, good to have you back this morning, brother. Good. God bless you. All right. So all of that. Now, Brian, you've got some announcements for us. You come on up, son.
All right. It's April and April is busy. So y'all ready? Get set. Go. Here we go. All right. The choir this afternoon. Ensemble at 4 o'clock. Ooh, ensemble at 4 o'clock. Choir at 4:30, okay? We got to get ready for these Easter Sundays coming up. So please be on time for that. And then our service tonight will be at 5:30. We hope you, every one of you, are invited back here tonight. We'll have a good time. The pastor will be back tonight, so you'll get to hear from him. And then Wednesday, of course, is our Wednesday night service, 7 o'clock. I don't think it's a secret. Brother Aaron's preaching Wednesday night for us. Okay. Well, you made me look bad. No. Brother Aaron's going to preach Wednesday night for us. So y'all don't want to be here for that, okay? Because the pastor, as my dad would tell you, that he'll be preaching in revival this week in Rockingham, North Carolina. Wednesday night, be here at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday coming up is the ladies' meeting at Liberty Baptist in Timmonsville. That's over close to Florence. That meeting starts at 10, so Miss Judy's not here, so I think we're leaving at 8:30. That's when we should leave, according to my Google Maps or whatever. You should leave at 8:30, okay? Our people are doing some of the special singing there, so you're going to want to come, ladies. 10 o'clock is when the meeting is, but 8:30 we'll leave the church. Y'all got that? Okay. That's this coming Saturday. That's Brother and Sister Hatchell's church. Okay. That's Brother and Sister Hatchell's church. They're good friends of our church, so you'll want to see that. Let's get a count of who's going. I'm going. So anybody else up here going? Miss Jennifer's going. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9. Good number. I think that was 11 total, including me. Do I count? No, not really. I'm just there to play the piano. Okay. All right. So that'll be this coming Saturday, ladies. Thank you for helping us out there. Next Sunday. Now, next Sunday we'll be pondering the cross and all in our songs and messages on this coming Sunday. It'll also be Track Sunday. Okay. So let me tell you, we got a bunch of older guys up here that have bad memories, including me sometimes. The pastor's not here, so none of us can remember the name of the preacher that's coming next Sunday for Track Sunday. None of us can remember it, but the pastor knows, but the pastor's not here. So there's a good man from Fellowship Track League, and he's going to be here next Sunday preaching. Okay, in the morning service, I think he's delivering a message dealing with the cross. Then on Sunday night, he'll be delivering a message specifically about the ministry of tract giving. He's with the Fellowship Tract League. You want to be here for both of those services. That's next Sunday, okay? A week from today. Sunday after that is Easter, okay? So we hope to have a big crowd, of course, on Easter. We'll have special music, special messages, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It'll be 2 weeks from today. That's stuck up on us quick. And the choir is going to be ready for Easter Sunday. Then it's not over yet. The Ladies' Jubilee is on the last Saturday of the month. That's the 27th, so we're gearing up for that. There's two more Jubilee planning meetings left, but that'll be not this week, but the next one. So just keep that in mind, ladies. Not this week for those Jubilee planning meetings. But the Jubilee is on April 27th here at the church, and you ladies know all about that, but just remember that's coming. And immediately after that, the Sunday following, is our revival with Brother Brian Gurley. That'll be the 28th through the Wednesday after that, which is May the 1st. So just be praying, inviting people to come to that, get people under the sound of the gospel for our revival. I think that's all.
I'll give you one prayer request real quick. Brother Anthony over here just mentioned this to me during our fellowship time. His grandmother has been diagnosed with colon cancer. We'll have surgery this week, so be sure to put her on your prayer list and set that in mind. Well, the song I had already picked out kind of went along with our brother's testimony over here. Number 50, we're going to stand and sing the first and last stanzas of There Is Power in the Blood. Number 50.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or rebuild a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? Power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Good singing this morning. You can be...
Yeah. Guys, the preacher that's coming next Sunday is Bruce Delane. And so, you know, we had somebody to inform us who it was, and we're not all old and, well, you know, a lot of us are. But anyway, we're so glad. All right, well, it's good spirit in the church house today. God bless you for being here again. It's time for offering. And fellas, you come on up now. And what an important part of worship this is. And I want you to ask the Lord to help you to remain faithful. The Faith Promise missions giving has just been fabulous and wonderful. And so God has blessed that and honored that. And you just give obediently as the Lord has commanded us to do. And you know what? I can't wait to be able to participate in the offering. A blessing that is. And God surely honors that and blesses that. And so may the Lord help you today, okay? Father, what a privilege it is to give back to you, Lord, just a small portion, Lord, what you've given to us. Lord, what a small price to give to enjoy the blessings of the Lord on our life. Lord, I'm thankful for people here at Anchor, how they faithfully give. And Lord, Faith Promise giving, the giving to the Ladies Jubilee. And Lord, we were so thankful for that. The Lord, the tithe and offering. And Lord, may you honor that today and bless it. And honor the remainder of this service now. In Christ's name, amen. All right.
Before Brother Steve introduces our speaker, we have the Stilling family coming to sing.
I just want to thank the Lord for being good to us. We had a different song in mind until yesterday, and then the Lord changed it, and hopefully this will be a blessing to the Martins. We enjoyed helping them move and spending some time with them. It seems like when you're trying to do what's right, there's always going to be things that come in to hinder it, whether that be the devil trying to fight you or the Lord trying to make you stronger and better. But the end helps us to see that God's real and that he's working in our lives and he's doing things for our better and to bless us in the long run. And I'm thankful that he's always there with us through all of it. So this is about that.
Lately I've been through some testing and trials. Felt like a detour that went on for miles. But standing here now looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive, but here I am feeling so strong and alive. The darkness is past and the morning is bright, and I'm thankful.
Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful.
I battled giants of failure and fear, shadows of doubt where my hope was unclear. But all along the Lord you were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All the sins of my past were a thundering roar that echoed the guilt that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to the cross and I bear it no more, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful like David after the lion, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lion. Lord, I'm thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
Lord,
I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to bound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
Maybe tonight or maybe Wednesday night, Brother Aaron will talk to you about that dry ground. And that's good. I was thinking, sitting here listening to how just thankful we are, and Miss Deborah Neal told me that, visiting today, told me that, I said, how'd you find our church? She said, I've just been driving by. I said, I just thought I'd visit. And boy, we're thankful for that, aren't we? And that's wonderful. Thank you, Miss Neal, for stopping in today and visiting us. A couple of announcements I forgot to make, and I don't think were mentioned yet. Easter lilies that are going to be here, we've ordered 10 of them, $13 each. And you need to see Miss Etta Mae Hale right down here. Right, if you want to purchase one to give in honor or memory of someone, give that note to Miss Etta Mae real soon. And if we need more than 10, we'll get them on an as-need basis. Just visit Miss Etta Mae Hale right there. About that after church tonight. Kept your hand, Miss Adam, eh? Just in case anybody didn't know who she was. We all do. Then the ladies' jubilee coming up at the end of this month, and be sure you're praying much about that. Right after the jubilee is revival. Did you mention that, Brian? Did you? Okay. And so we're looking forward to the things that are just ahead here at the Anchor Baptist Church. All right. Well, Brother Gary Berry, you come on up now, Brother Gary. And in pastor's absence this morning, I have a pastor will be back tonight. Brother Gary is going to preach for us. And Brother Gary, is family, y'all stand up there, all the good wife and the three children. And yeah, give them a hand for coming. They hear their husband and dad preach all the time, don't they? And so they get to hear him here at Anchor again, and we're so glad they're here today. And Brother Gary, you got your mic turned on there. I'll give him a good listen as he preaches the Word of God.
It certainly is a joy being in the Lord's house today. I tell you what, brother, you preaching to us over here, I thought we was going to sing a few more songs and go to the house. And, you know, we'd already heard the message. Man, praise the Lord for that. It's a joy to know how God works all over the world, how He works all over the county, all over the country. Just to know that God's still in the saving business. I'm telling you, the world would have you think today that God's dead. God's not dead. And Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, and He's alive forevermore. I'm so thankful today that Jesus Christ is alive. I'm so thankful that He saved me. Call to preach He's put on our life. I just thank God for His goodness and love and mercy to me. Thank God for my family. Man, God give me a good wife and three fine children. And the girl takes after her mama. She's beautiful. And the boys take after their daddy. I don't know if that's good or bad. But anyway, no, they good-looking fellas. But I do praise God for what He's done in my heart and life. And the friendship that y'all have given us through the years, it's really been a blessing. And we just thank God for this opportunity. I was talking to the pastor yesterday, just, you know, just making sure everything's still good to come. And said, yeah, we told me the time we started everything. And I went ahead and thanked Him ahead for the opportunity to come. We certainly count it a blessing. You don't realize the answer to prayer that being here this very day is. And I thank God for that. I thank God that He hears the cries of His children and He answers those prayers. God's good to us. The choir was singing was good. Those songs, man, put you on shouting ground. And they was real good. That good special from the family, Darling family. Thank you. That helped us. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Take our Bibles now. Turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 35. Genesis chapter number 35. I do appreciate the pastor and the friendship we've had through the years now. And again, just being here is a blessing to us. We've been praying that God would give the message for the hour. I believe He's done just that. Now, excuse me just for a second. Serve a great God. He's worthy to be praised. worthy, worthy. One day we'll be able to bow at his feet in glory and cry, worthy is the Lamb. Was slain before the foundation of the world. It's my heart's desire in every man, woman, boy, and girl in here today that's born again. And if you're here today and you're not saved, that you'd come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today. Today could be your glad day of salvation, that your sins will be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It still flows strong today. You know, I'm told that the blood of man will lose a little bit of its power, lose a little bit of its strength throughout the years that go by. Jesus Christ's blood has never lost one ounce of its power. Jesus Christ's blood is still as strong today as the day it flowed from the cross of Calvary. To still wash your sins away today if you'll come to Him in repentance and faith, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's our prayer today that you'd be saved if you're lost. But it is also our prayer today that if you're here and maybe you've just went away from the Lord a little bit, don't go that inch, it'll be a mile. But turn back to the Lord today. Be drawn closer to His precious bleeding side. Come back to the one that saved you and birthed you into His family. Maybe you're here today and you might be by the wayside a little bit, maybe discouraged, maybe down, maybe out. It is our prayer today that God will lift you up. It's our prayer today that you will be drawn closer to Jesus today, that you can be back on the path that you need to go and encouraged by the blood of Jesus and by the life of Jesus that He gives to us today. But as we have your Bibles, if you would please, if you're physically able, would you please stand with me as we read some Scripture in Genesis chapter number 35. We'll just read down maybe through verse number 4. And the Bible says there, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob did hide them under the oak which was by Shechem." I'm interested in that last phrase in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem." I'd like to preach a message this morning with God's help, by His grace and His mercy, at the foot of the tree. At the foot of the tree. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to You today, Lord, confessing our inabilities. Father, we come to You today confessing, Lord God, and admitting, Lord, we're not worthy to stand in this place. God, Thou knowest my heart today. God, I'm not worthy to open up the precious Word of God. I'm not worthy, Lord, to stand behind the sacred desk. Dear God in heaven, Lord, we pray, please, in Thy abundant mercy and grace, would You help Your servants today? Would You speak to hearts today, God? We thank You for the good singing that's prepared our hearts, dear Lord God, for the preaching time. We thank You, dear Lord, for the good testimony we've heard of how You're working and doing things, Lord, all around this country, Lord. We thank You, dear Lord God, that You are still the God of the living. We thank You, dear Lord, that You still save souls. We thank You, dear Lord, that when we do get out of the way and we do get beside ourselves and we do get out of the path that You have for us, God, that You tenderly draw us back to Your precious bleeding side. And Father, whatever the need in the congregation is today, please, dear Lord, we pray in the precious name of Jesus that You'd meet those needs, dear God. That You'd save that one that's nearest hell today, dear Lord. Maybe they're saying, I have more time. Lord, they may not have enough time. They might not have another breath of life, but Lord, may that very next breath, Lord, be the one they call on You for salvation. And God, there may be some here today that said, I'll wait till next Sunday or until revival time to get my heart right with You. But I pray that You speak to your child that may be in that state of heart and mind. And God, that today will be the day that they get their heart right with You, God. They could go on living your life that You have for them. God, whatever the need, whatever the case may be, Lord, by way of encouragement, Lord, we know that You're the God of all comfort. We know that You're God that's all-sufficient for us. We know that You're the God that is all-powerful for us. And Lord, we pray that You'd help us today, Lord, to turn our hearts, turn our minds, Lord God, wholly over to You. Lord, bind the devil today and every force of hell. God, keep him out of the church house doors and out of the hearts and minds of Your people today. And draw souls to You today, we pray. Lord, we want Jesus Christ to be lifted up. We want Him to be magnified. Lord, we're reminded what the Scripture says, that if You be lifted up, You'll draw all men unto Yourself. And Lord, we just want to lift up Jesus today, Lord, that somebody here could get the help which they need. Lord, thank You, Lord God, for all You've done for us and what You're going to do, Lord. Like what the preacher said, we're going to praise You. We're going to thank You. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated today. Some time ago, I was reading through some Scripture and came across this portion. And as I was reading this portion of Scripture, the Lord dealt with my heart over that last phrase in verse number 4. And the Bible says, and Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. If you've read through the book of Genesis and studied the life of Jacob, you'll realize that Jacob was the old trickster. Jacob was the old deceiver. Jacob was the one that would come to the Lord, and he would very quickly fall away from the Lord. He would start following for a minute, and then he would fall away again. That sounds much like us today as God's children, doesn't it? Let's not be too hard on Jacob yet to realize, hey, we're the same flesh and bone, and we're the same feeble flesh. But here in this portion of Scripture, the Lord gives Jacob a command to do some things. And thinking about that thought of at the foot of the tree today, we think about trees. And years gone by, and even here recently, I know of a younger man whose daddy had passed away. And they buried him under an old tree that was behind the house. A lot of times, people use trees for that occasion. They'll use them as monuments. They'll use them as markers. Or they'll use them sometimes as boundary lines even. You look up some old plats and you'll see that some people use old... Oh, there was an old wagon wheel there that they would use. I'm talking about old plats of land. And you'll see there was an old tree here or a tree there. People use trees to mark things and to lay some boundaries, some property lines, if you will, as a place of remembrance. Here in this portion of Scripture, and no doubt you're ahead of me already, thinking about that oak and the things that were buried there at that oak, which was by Shechem. Lord, pricked my heart. Said, that oak, that tree that's represented in the passage today, it represents Calvary, you and I. It represents the very cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was made out of a tree. It represents what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary when He suffered and bled and died for us to pay the price for all our sin. We would have an escape from hell. We would have forgiveness from our sins. We would have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us there. So consider the tree today. I want to ask you to consider the tree. Don't consider a physical tree. Don't consider so much a blooming tree. Consider the tree of Jesus Christ today. Consider the tree that Jesus suffered and bled and died on. Consider this today. Consider your own soul. Consider your life. Consider how short life is to you and I. The Bible says, well, what is life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Life is very short today. We're not promised the very breath of life here the next second. So it is today, if you're lost, today is the day of salvation. The Bible tells us today is the day you can come to Jesus Christ. And here in this portion of Scripture, Jacob now is being brought to a low place in his life. Jacob here is near in the land of Shechem. The Bible explains to us that God has allowed Jacob to come to this place. You see, God had a plan for Jacob. God wanted Jacob to be the one that was faithful. God wanted Jacob to be the one that had his heart turned and had his heart fixed towards God. And here we see that these things have come into the life of Jacob. Some of Jacob's family has went through some heartaches and through some trials. Some embarrassment and some shame has been brought to the life of Jacob and his household. We see here that in whatever trial may come into your life, whatever catastrophe might come into your life, whatever the heartache that may come into your life, it is God's plan to get you back to Him. It is God's plan to turn your heart and turn your life over to Him if you're lost. You say, preacher, you don't understand my life. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand who I am. You don't know my past. You don't know where I came from. You don't know my family. I don't know you today. But there is a God in heaven that knows you. There's a God in heaven that knows your heart. There's a God in heaven that knows your past. There's a God in heaven that knows the sins that you've committed. And there's a God in heaven that can forgive you today. And there's a God in heaven that loves you today. This world would have you think that if you're a drunk in the gutter or if you're falling on hard times, that nobody loves you anymore. And the world may turn their back on you and the world may not love you. But there is a very God in heaven that's the God of all comfort. There's a Bible verse that tells us in the good word of God that God is love. God loves you today. God can save you today. God wants to save you today if you'll turn to Him. It is God's desire if you're lost today to save you. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to the repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ. It was God's plan. We know Jacob and this family here, they were believers. They were God's children. Let me just say by way of application to us as God's children today, if you're here, there's been a time in your life where you've repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you and save you. You're born again by the Word of God. Not by anything of my Word, but by the Word of God. But if you're here today and you're saved, there's been that time in your life. Maybe there's something that has come into your life that you need to get cleaned out. Maybe there's something that has crept into the crevices and the cracks of your life, of your mind, of your heart, of your family, of your home. Whatever the case may be today, just in your individual walk with God, maybe there's something that you need to get cleaned out today and bury at the foot of the tree. You see, whether it is salvation or whether it is sanctification or whether it is service for the Lord Jesus Christ, everything has to happen at the foot of the tree. Your salvation is going to be found at the foot of the tree of Jesus Christ. Your salvation is going to be found when you get on your face before God and you admit from your heart. Then that word repentance, a lot of times people today will try to make that a work. But repentance is just a simple change of mind. It's a change of heart. Repentance is realizing that, hey, I'm on my way to hell. I'm a sinner and I'm going straight to hell if I don't get saved by the blood of Jesus. But that act, as you say in your heart, God, I'm a sinner. You repented of your sins. I admit I'm lost. But Lord God, I admit you're the Savior. I turn my heart to you. Would you forgive me and save me? And by the word of God, He promises that He will. But whether it's salvation or whether it's service, whether it's sanctification, setting yourself apart for the Lord Jesus Christ for His service, that has to be taken care of at the foot of the tree. You can't just make up in your mind, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord. You got to come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm not my own anymore. For I'm bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to sanctify myself for you, God. I want to sell my life to you, God. I want to give myself to you, dear God. At the foot of the tree, Lord, I'm bowing before you. You take my life, consecrated unto you, dear God. Use it wherever you want, whether it's service. And maybe someone here today that the Lord's dealing with about full-time Christian service. Confess that. Give that to God. Where's the foot of the tree at today? It's at this altar. It's at this altar. Thank God for an altar. Jacob said, I'm going there and I'm going to make an altar unto God. He went to that altar. Lives get altered at the altar. Things change at the altar. Whether it's salvation or service or sanctification, that happened at the tree. Notice quickly what the Bible says there in verse number 4. The Bible doesn't say there under an oak. It doesn't say under an oak or this oak or that oak. It says under the oak. Under the oak. So what's the difference in the word and in the word the? The difference is this. This tree was a particular tree that God was pulling Jacob's attention to. And today, the cross of Jesus Christ was not just another tree somebody died on. You see, on that cross, on that hill of Golgotha that day, there were two thieves that were being crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the story of those two trees, of those two crosses. There was one tree in particular. That one tree, it was the man in the middle. It was the cross in the middle. It was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the price that was being paid for you and I. This was a particular tree. What was the purpose of God directing him to this oak tree? Because He wanted his mind and his heart to be focused on one spot. That one spot for us to be focused on today is the cross of Jesus Christ. We got to be focused on the tree of Jesus. Be focused on what He did for us. Be focused on the fact that He was the propitiation or the replacement, the payment for all of our sins. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Keep our attention on the tree, not a tree, but the tree of Jesus Christ. God called out to Jacob in verse number 1. He gave him the call. He got his attention. I wonder, is God calling you today? Is God calling you today? You see, He allowed Jacob to go to this place of Shechem, get his attention. God's speaking to your heart today. God allowed you to be in the church house today. God allowed you to be here in your particular chair that you're sitting in today. I don't know your heart. I don't know your position. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're saved or if you're lost. God Almighty knows whether you're saved or whether you're lost today. And God may have just allowed you to come into these double doors just by way of passing by and said, I need to go to that place. Hey, God is a God of divine appointment. He's not a God of happenstance or circumstance. He's not a God of chance. God is a God of divine appointment. You're not here today by accident, but you're here today on purpose. And Jesus Christ died on the cross on purpose. He didn't die just to do it. He died on the cross on purpose. He died and shed His blood for you and I. See, the Bible tells us, in thinking about the cross, thinking about what Jesus, think about the cause. What's the cause? The Bible tells us, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, so that all have. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned from short of the glory of God. All of us, before or after, are sinners. Before you get saved, you're a sinner. The Bible explains to us in John 3:16, or Romans 6:23, I should say first, for the wages of sin is death. And that death is eternal death. It's death in the lake of fire. It's death in a place you'll never escape. It's eternal. You reach of eternal life. But if you don't have eternal life, you only have eternal death. The Bible explains to us that hell, death and hell were cast to the lake of fire. Lake of fire is a place of eternal death. It's a place of eternal pain. It's a place of eternal darkness. It's a place of eternal separation from God. It's a place from eternal separation from your loved one. It's complete separation. It's complete darkness. Complete worship. Preacher, why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did He die on the cross? He died on the cross. He died on the cross because God demanded a blood sacrifice. The blood sacrifice that was good enough to wash our sins was the very blood of Christ. Sacrifice cannot be made unless blood is. And this blood that Jesus had within His hands was the holy blood of God. Christ. The Bible tells us over in the book of 1 Peter that the blood of Jesus Christ was that of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ was and still is a perfect sacrifice. His blood was and still is the perfect blood of God. His blood can and still will save you. And it will still wash your sins away. It will birth you into His family. The Bible tells us in John 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever any of you believeth on Him should not perish. That means you won't go to hell, but you'll have everlasting life. The Bible says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You've got to come to the foot of the tree of Jesus today to be saved. You've got to realize, hey, I'm a sinner. I realize all I've done is against God. I realize I was born into sin because of the verses you just heard. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you've heard what I've just told you, you realize in your heart, I am lost. I'm going to hell. And you realize Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. You can be saved this very moment. And I want to encourage you, child, a person here today, if you're here and you're lost, don't wait till altar time. Don't wait for invitation. You might be a man today. You go get one of these other men by the hand and say, I need to be saved now. I can't wait. You might be a lady. Go grab one of these other ladies by the arm and say, I need to be saved now. They'll take you in the back. They'll take the good King James Bible and they'll show you how you need to be saved. They'll show you how you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't wait. Command is to come now. God gave Jacob the command. We've got to hurry along. But we see the cause of the tree. The cause of the tree was our sin. Our sin separates us from God today. But the blood of Jesus brings you back to God. The blood of Jesus washes your sin away today. Notice this, if you're here as God's child today, what's the purpose of the tree to me today? There may be something that's crept into life. Look what the Bible says here in verse number two. The Bible says, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, be clean, change garments. Out of God, I wonder how it is heartening your life today. Maybe there's something that's crept into your life that you're serving other God Almighty. Maybe there's something that you set up to serve and been dedicated to more than His Word. Maybe there's something that you dedicated yourself to more than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. You see, anything that we allow us as God's children, anything we allow to get in the way of Jesus, has become a strange God to us. Has become an idol. Anything that takes your focus, your attention, is a strange God to us. The cause of the trees, Jesus Christ said, the Bible tells us in 1:3 that Christ purged our sin fat down. The Bible says, by Himself, purged our sin fat down on the right hand. Cause of the tree, let me see this, us, God's children, maybe there's a back in our lives. That brings us this all. What's the cure of the tree? What happened at the tree? He said, Jesus died on the cross already. The cure was found in the blood of Christ. Us as God's children, think about what happened at that tree. It breaks our hearts. It ought to break our hearts. And that's it. We know that the God of all glory loved you and I so much. He did that. We were sinners, sitting in the face of God and rejecting Him to die for us. Knowing that He would reject the He was eyes. Knowing He would have that crown of thorns platted. Knowing that His beard would be plucked from His into flesh. Knowing that His side would be riven with. Knowing that His blessed Son, who knew no sin, becomes for us. All that us sinners have a home in heaven and have our sins washed. We need to think about Jesus, what happened at that tree. The cure that Jesus gave us. You got saved. You came to Christ at the foot of the tree. He washed your sins. The Bible says that our transgressions are as far as the east from the west. The Bible says He washed our sins away. They're gone. Never to be remembered. Forgotten. In the portion of Scripture there, we see that the Bible tells us in verse number 4 that Jacob hid them, or he buried them up under that tree. When we got born again, our sins were buried at the foot of the tree of Jesus Christ. Our sins were washed away. See, He buried them things at that foot of that oak tree, never to be remembered again, to be completely forgotten. He would never turn back and say, hey, that was the place of sin in our life, and I'm not going back that way. He was going to forget about it. And whenever we got saved, Jesus Christ forgot about all of our sins. You see, Him and His holiness can do that. Us in our sin, well, sometimes we'll remember sin. Sometimes we'll think back. Well, we've got to go back to the cross and say, Jesus, I buried my sins under Your blood that day. You washed my sins away. I'm glad You don't remember them anymore. You remember that old song we sing, what sins are you talking about? He said, I don't remember them anymore. They've all been washed out. Praise God today that if you're saved, sins are washed away. They're buried, washed away, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What was the example here that God was giving Jacob and his family? Blessed is God's children. The Bible says He hid them under the oak. What happened at the tree? If you gave it to your past, got buried. Your past got washed away. The brother was preaching about it in Sunday school. How the Word of God tells us over in the 1st and 2nd Timothy. Paul was there preaching and talking about how he used to be this. I mean, he murdered Christians, tortured Christians, and made havoc of the church and those that were adulterers and blasphemers and all these things. All of us were before Jesus Christ. But because of Jesus Christ, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Thank God for Christ today. The things that we used to do, the things that we were a part of, they're washed away, they're gone, they're forgotten because of Jesus. But I see here that the past is going to be buried at the foot of the tree. Look what he told them in verse number 2. He said, the strange gods, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. Change your garments. And the Bible says in verse number 4, and they came to him, to Jacob, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which is by Shechem. You said, what was the importance of the earrings in the ears? What was the importance of the strange gods that was in their hand? It was an outward showing of what happened on the inside. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, the Bible tells us. So these people that were giving the earrings out of their ears, which was a picture of their servitude to the world, and giving their strange gods, all these things they were giving with their hands, because they had done give them up in their heart. You see, that is about salvation the same way. We cannot expect to give up the things that we do. We can't expect just to stop drinking, just to stop smoking, just to stop a self-reformation, so to speak. We can't expect to do all these things and receive salvation, because salvation is solely and completely in the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in baptism. Salvation is not in service. But salvation is in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and I on the cross of Calvary. We must repent and we must believe in that sacrifice that was made for you and I. It was made for you and I. You can't have a reformation and expect to go to heaven. You've got to have a transformation. That transformation happens in God. Whenever we come to repentance and we trust Jesus as our Savior, they gave up the things with their hands, but they gave up their heart already. The Bible says that the heart out of God, all dealeth out of it by the issue of life. And the Bible also says, as a man thinking his heart, so is he. If our heart's right with God, our hands won't have an out into the things of this world. If our heart's right with God, we won't have those earrings in our ear of servitude towards the world. Think about the Old Testament scripture of how it says that a servant would have an awl pierced through his ear, and that would mark his servitude, that master, for the rest of his days. See what they were doing here in this portion of scripture was getting rid of all those. They said, hey, we're not servants to these strange gods anymore. Our heart is turned unto God. Our heart is going to be dedicated unto God. Our heart is going to be dedicated to one that suffered and bled and died for me on the cross of Calvary. Our heart's going to be dedicated to the one that bought me with his precious blood. I don't care about the things of the world anymore. I don't care about possessions anymore. I don't care about popularity anymore. I care about serving the one and only true Jehovah God today. Praise God for that today. That we can come to that point in our life, even as saved folk today. We get away from God. We get beside ourselves. We get our eyes fixed on things of this world. We get our eyes fixed on possessions. We get our eyes fixed on the pride of life. We get our eyes fixed on popularity. We get our eyes fixed on all these things around us that draws us away from Jesus. He is steady, trying to guide us back to his side, trying to pull us back and say, those things did nothing for you. Those things were leading you to hell. Those things were taking you down to eternal damnation. But Jesus Christ stands up and waves his arm and knocks on your heart's door and says, I'm the one that purchased you with my blood. I'm the one that saved you. Live your life for me. Be consecrated. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Dedicate your life to the one that brought you out of sin and saved you into life everlasting. Bury those things at the foot of the cross today. You come to Jesus and say, Lord God Almighty, I have been wrong. I have been straying away from you. But here today, I want to die to myself and I want to live for my Lord Jesus Christ. Bury your sins today, child of God. You see, today there's two groups of people in this room. There's sinners that are lost and sinners that are saved. There ain't nobody better than anybody else. Either sinners with our sins washed away or sinners that have not had our sins washed away yet. It is only by the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be sitting in the chair. You're sitting in all by His mercy. It's all about Him. This thing ain't anything about us, but it is all about Jesus. Jesus Christ paid it all. All to Him I owe. The Bible says it's a mystical thing. I like that last part. He washed it as white as snow. Thank God. Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus Christ today. Praise the Lord today for what He's done in your heart and what He's done in your life. He's worthy to be praised, and He's worthy to die to yourself daily. Lord, I bear He's saying at the very conclusion. He saw the cause of all the cure and the tree. All what happened at the tree. He thought this tree would be a sacrifice. This tree is the salvation. What happened because of this? What's the consequence? He's one of the already. How to say consequence coming across the life of the life of heartache? All because of this Christ. What's the consequence of bringing your things to the tree and burying them under the tree as a child of God? It's having your joy back. It's having the blessings of God back on your life. Of knowing that you're doing things that please our Heavenly Father. Doing things that you know are making Him happy. I love my daddy. He's been a mentor in my life. faithful leader in my life. Growing up around job sites, we build houses and different things. Growing up around job sites, I remember my daddy would walk in his boots through the building sand, through the clay. And I would see his footprints. As little as I was, I'd try to strive, put my feet right in his boot. I had to jump sometimes, try to put my feet where his feet. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:16 to be therefore followers of God as dear children. My daddy's not perfect. He's a man like you and I. I tell you that today. I looked up to him. We have a Heavenly Father whose love my daddy has for me can't even compare. How much more does our Heavenly Father love us as his children? How much more does God Almighty have as his children? He said, I love you. I just want you to follow me. I want you to be a follower of me. As his children, I'm talking to you as God's child today. I'm talking to myself. Saved already. There's something that's taken you out of those footprints of Jesus. Footprints of God. Go this way. Your friends have pushed you this way. That job that you were having, God gave you that job. Began following God in that job line, going, somebody over here offered you more money, and I'm going to go this way now. Maybe you sold yourself out for money. Maybe you started following God this way and said, God, you're all sufficient for me. You're the one that's going to provide my every need. God, you're the one I need. But yet somewhere along the line, you said, there's something over here that looks a little bit better to my fleshly eye. It appeals to me a little bit more. All the while, Jesus is reaching. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Go the way of God. Go the way. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Go the way of God today, child of God. The consequence of going God's way is his blessings can be on your life then. God never promised to bless to be unfaithfulness. He can't. He's that holy. He can't look down and bless you in your unfaithfulness. This will be to God. Have mercy. Has mercy. You can see the hand of God in your life. I've seen it in my life. Times I've been unfaithful to God. Disobedient, God has shown mercy. And I thank God for his long-suffering hand and his merciful hand, his bountiful hand of mercy. God promises to bless in abundance, faithfulness, and obedience. You say, look, there's been things in my life I'm ashamed of. Doesn't matter. God can forgive them. You're here and you're lost today. And down to the closing right here. I'll bring it all down in a nutshell right here. Say, preacher, I'm a wicked sinner. I've never been saved. But you don't realize the lies I've told. You don't realize the thoughts I've thought. You don't realize the evil deeds I've done in my heart, maybe even with your hands, that you put your hands to and done evil things. It would be despicable to this world. The world would look at you and say, boy, you're worthless. That is hellish. That's something that only a sinner and an awful wicked person can do. There is no sin that you've done. The grace and the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash away. It will cleanse you from all sin. It will, not on my authority, but on the authority of God's precious word. The Bible says he is the same yesterday and today and forever. You say, what does that mean to us right now? That means this, that the sinner that he forgave yesterday, that same sinner today, or one even worse in our eyes, he can forgive and he can wash clean by his blood. Because you see, there's none of us that's no better than anybody else in God's eyes. It doesn't matter. You was born in sin. You might have grew up in church your whole life. You might be a faithful church member, so to speak, but you've never been saved. You're still a sinner, as worse as the drunk that's in the gutter, as worse as the one that hurts children, as worse as anybody else, because is sin in the eyes of Almighty God. You have to be forgiven the same way as the gutter drunk. You have to be forgiven the same way as the dope addict. You have to be saved the same way as anything else that goes on in this world. But the blood of Jesus Christ will do it. It won't be self-reformation. It won't be turning over a new leaf. But it'll be turning your heart and life over to Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. But child of God, today, I wonder this. Maybe you've let some things creep into your life. Jacob said this. He said, we're going back to Bethel. Said to put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change garments. What was he telling them? He was telling them to sanctify themselves. We're talking about God's people right here in this portion. I understand. He tells them there's some things that's wrong, but I want you to get them right. See, God could have just cast them off. He said, just forget about you. You've done this so many times, I'm not even going to take time with you anymore. That's not God. That is not my God. I'm glad that God is merciful. I'm glad that God is plenteous in mercy. I'm glad that he is always willing to take his children back. If you'll come to him today in repentance and faith, say, Lord Jesus, I need salvation. He'll save you. But if you're here today as God's child, say, Lord, I've been away from you. God, I want a new heart in you. He'll say, I've been waiting right here the whole time. I don't know about you today, but the fact that Lord Jesus Christ will be standing with his nail-pierced hands waiting for you to come and get saved, knowing what he did for you and me on the cross now, how could you turn him away? Don't let pride. If people will laugh at me, I'll be embarrassed. There is not one person in this room that will laugh at you for trusting Jesus Christ. Don't worry about how it's going to make you look in man's eyes. Because what matters is how you look in God's eyes. When God sees you today, if you're saved, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied, stamped on your soul. If you're not saved, you're not covered in that blood. When God sees you, he sees a sinner. God does not want to send you to hell. But
just your rejection of Jesus Christ will send you to hell. Don't reject Him today. Man, woman, boy, or girl, whatever age.
God's dealing with your heart. Today is a day of salvation.
Father God, if God's dealing with you today, today is a day.
Lord, I'm tired of living the Christian life alone. I want to live in the power of Almighty God. He's waiting today. I don't know why He's letting me prolong this a little bit more. Just to let you know.
He's waiting. Every head bowed, every eye closed today.
Do they have the hymn of invitation at the piano song?
I don't know how y'all do invitation here, but if you're here today, maybe if we just have to begin us play through a few verses of that song while I speak to you just for a few more minutes. We'll sing after that.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you need our attention, just look this way.
If you need to be saved, come to Jesus today. He's knocking at your heart's door. Jesus wants to come in. Jesus wants to save you. The life that you live in Jesus Christ is a life that's unexplainable. He can do so much for you. If you're a young man today, or an adult man today, or a little or young man today, you come up here if you need to be saved and you get us by the arm. We'll take the Bible, show you how to be saved. If you're a young lady today, adult lady, a young girl, if you need to be saved today and God's speaking to your heart, you come and we'll get a lady that can show you how to be saved. You can be led to Jesus Christ. But child of God today, if you're here and God has spoken to your heart, He's put His finger on something in your life. See, that's what He did for Jacob and his people. He put His finger on some things in their life that they needed to get right with Him. Maybe it is that God has put a pinpoint on something in your heart, something in your life today. So, you know, that's not right, and I'm going to get that right with God. Why don't you come today and why don't you turn that thing over to God and confess and say, Lord, forgive me and help me, I pray. Sir or ma'am, if you're here today, I'm not trying to drag you to the altar. I just believe in all my heart that God allowed me to say these things today because there's somebody here that needs to get saved. God doesn't want you to leave here lost. I beg you, would you come? The Lord Jesus loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done, He can forgive you. Give you a new life. There are some praying, many praying. Won't you come while there's still time? Then I have some verses of invitation. Just because we're singing doesn't mean invitation's over. You come. You let God work in your heart and do as the Lord says do. Don't let the day go by without making your decision for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Number 167, if you need the words, but let's stand and sing. If you still need to come to the altar will be open. If you need someone to help you or pray with you, be sure to let us know when you come. Let's sing together.
Thus as I am without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, and
to be seated just a moment. Shelton, why don't you bring Mitchell up here? Tell the church what happened there, Shelton.